we've identified the problem, right? So like 10 years now, we've all been talking about how bad things are. We've admitted it, and like, we're kind of stuck on this thing. So as a country, I think it's time to like move on to the next step, which is what do we do about this problem? And I would like to say Loretto's movie is not, it's not so controversial. And I know Americans love controversy and they love to see negatives and they love to do all this stuff, but let's really rally around Loretto's movie because that's where the country needs to go. It's like phase two of the food revolutions.
You're listening to Food Integrity Now with your host, Carol Gervais.
Hello and welcome to Food Integrity Now. I'm Carol Gervais. I am a certified holistic nutritionist and the host of the show. At Food Integrity Now, we like to investigate and explore what's happening in our food supply so that you can make wise decisions for your health and for your family's health. And I'd like to give a big shout out to Ben Sound Music for our intro and outro music. Do you drink almond milk? Do you know that packaged almond milk contains all sort of nasty additives like carrageenan and barely contains any actual almonds? The good news is that you can make fresh almond milk at home in minutes. Once you taste the creamy, fresh flavor of homemade almond milk, you'll never go back. I make my almond milk at home with a Nutiana nut milk bag. It's great, easy to use, easy to clean, and makes my almond milk silky smooth. Buy yours today by searching the Nutiana nut milk bag on Amazon. That's Nutiana, nut milk bag. Or go to Nutiana.com. You're going to love this bag. We've got a great show today. I have two guests today. My first guest is Loretto Di Cesare. Loretto was born and raised in Abruzzo, Italy, and moved to Rome as a young adult. In 2012, he relocated his family to California to pursue his career and passion in filmmaking. While in Italy, Loretto worked alongside famous Italian filmmaker Alberto Pandolfi. He also spent over a decade with the Vatican Television Center in Vatican City as a cameraman and video editor. To fulfill his creative appetite, Loretto also worked on various projects with a number of reputable production companies around Rome during his time with the Vatican. Loretto strives to continually challenge himself by welcoming new projects. He has filmed documentaries throughout the world, and he is so passionate about people, places, experiences, and bringing beautiful stories to life through his extraordinary creative talents. Today, we're going to be speaking with Loretto about his film, Revolution Food Movie. We also have Paul Grieve with us today. Paul is a city-dwelling CPA-turned-farmer. Paul is now a multifaceted and highly respected farmer, speaker, and businessman at Primal Pastures in Southern California. In just 3 years, Paul transformed Primal Pastures into Southern California's main source of pasture-raised chickens, lamb, pork, and beef. Paul has spoken at numerous international conferences and popular forums, including TEDx and Permaculture Voices. He is also featured in the film Revolution Food Movie. Loretto and Paul, welcome to Food Integrity Now.
Thank you. Thanks for having us. We're excited.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, I think you both have such interesting backgrounds, and I'd love for our listeners to know a little bit more about each of you. Loretto, let's start with you. Tell us a little bit more about how you became a documentary filmmaker.
In my life, I met this Italian filmmaker, Alberto Pandolfi, 23 years ago almost. And he transmitted to me the passion of the documentary. He was an amazing storyteller doing documentary around the world. And I was very lucky to meet him, to learn something amazing, like how to tell the story. And this is how I start, and I never stop.
Wonderful. So you learned a lot from him. How long did you
I work with
train
him?
With him, or?
Like 12 years, almost. Great. I worked with him, yeah. And also, he worked with one of the famous theater photographers in Hollywood, Dante Spinotti, in like I have the privilege to work with this director who worked for this famous cinematographer in Hollywood, and it was amazing, yeah.
Great. And Paul, you haven't been a farmer your whole life. I'd love to hear more about your story.
Yeah, actually, even if you went back 5 years and told me that I was going to be farming, I would have laughed in your face because that was definitely never on the radar. But I started having some pretty bad health problems, arthritis, kind of riddling my whole body, and through eating different food, making different food choices, I was able to get rid of all that stuff. And just from doing that, it really made me take a deep dive on the food system and learn about what's going on with the food and the labeling and the different things that are happening now. And it kind of freaked me out. It freaked my whole family out. So in 2012, we ordered 50 chicks with still no plans to really make it a farm, just to feed ourselves and our family. We put them outside on grass, you know, fresh air, sunshine, really good healthy feed, and we just raised them the way that we wanted to eat them for our family. And before we knew it, they were all sold out. So the next time we did 100, and then 200, and then 500, and then really before we knew it, we had a real farm. So since then, Primal Pastures has become one of the premier pastured livestock farms. We do chicken, lamb, beef, pork, and honey right here in Southern California. So it's been a wild ride.
I'll bet. You went from being a CPA to a farmer in just like 4 years ago. Was that difficult to learn about farming?
I would say there's two parts to that question. I get that question a lot, if it was difficult. On one hand, there's a lot of technical pieces to farming, so I would never say that it's like easy. There's a lot of things you have to learn. Every single day I still learn something new. But when you're talking about putting animals outside on pasture, fresh air and sunshine, green grass, it really does come as common sense. Most of us, you know, at the longest, 4 or 5 generations back, we have agriculture in our blood. So I would say when you put animals out in this environment, it does make a lot of sense, common sense-wise, but there are technical things you do need to learn, too.
And Loretto, what prompted you to make Revolution Food, which is the reason why we're here today to talk about your documentary? What was your inspiration?
My inspiration was like people like Paul, because when I moved from Italy with my wife 4 years ago, one of the problem I had was I need to find a good food, because with my work traveling around the world, every time people they need to talk about how bad is the food system, the example is always the United States. And when I came here, I said, you know, I met people like Paul, other farmer, like we have a lot of people doing very good job try to provide good food for us. And I said, but everybody talked just about the bad guy. I said, I want to do a documentary where I can give space to these people who's working hard, doing the right things, because we are tired to talk just about how bad is this guy, how negative this guy. And I understand also through my experience, when I talk with people and I start to talk about how negative are the things, they just close the door, they don't want to talk anymore. But if I start the conversation about, I'm talking about how amazing are farmers like Paul or Joel, and share this beautiful story, they open their door and they start to make a little change.
I agree. I know we're headed in that direction. I was one of the speakers at the March Against Monsanto rally in San Diego this weekend. And I noticed the shift from previous years. People were more open to hearing about, okay, we know what's happened, but well, what are we going to do now? And so one of the things that I spoke about was that we all have so much personal power and the power of choice, and that each of us can really make a difference. So I think we're headed in that direction, which is a much more positive direction. So, Paul, how did you get involved in the film?
Well, it was a really cool story because Loretto, like you said, he came here from Italy. He had a really solid understanding of what real food looked like. He had a cultural, you know, a norm of buying food from a farm, from a small local farm that he could actually go visit. So, like many customers, he came, he started ordering, we got to know him and his wife, we had him over for dinner, and when he dropped the bomb on me that he was the head videographer for the Pope for 10 years, that like totally freaked me out. I thought that was so awesome. I had to get to know this guy. And then we got to talking more, and he talked about, yeah, you know, I'm doing this documentary with Vandana Shiva. And if you don't know that name, she's probably the most well-known organic farmer in the world. And I was so impressed by that. And then it went even farther when he said, hey, you know, would you be interested in being in a documentary with Vandana Shiva? And it was just, at that point, it was like, man, that's such a cool opportunity. We're just getting started in farming. We're just getting our feet wet with this whole thing. So we'd be super honored to do that. And then from there, it was awesome because I was able to introduce him to some of our heroes, Joel Salatin, like we've already talked about, Mark McAfee, who does organic pastures, dairy, all raw milk, grass-fed stuff, and some of the other people that are in the documentary, which was just really cool to be featured alongside of them, alongside of our heroes.
When you were first getting involved in farming, did you learn a lot from Joel Salatin?
He was like, go back 5 years when I was like kicking around this whole idea, sitting in a cubicle doing accounting, and I would take a 10-minute break and watch a Joel Salatin YouTube video and get all fired up and figure out, you know, how am I going to be able to leave my job and do this farm and do all this stuff. That's really where it was at. So he's been, if I had to pick one inspiration, he's been the guy that's really motivated us to, you know, jump ship, to try to do this farm thing. And his guiding principles of rotational grazing and holistic management, rotating the animals all over the place, that's what's really inspired us. And so we look up to him as a major role model for Primal Pastures.
Oh, I agree. I had the opportunity to spend a day on a farm with him in Colorado, and he's just incredible. He's really inspirational to anybody that can hear him speak. And as a farmer, I'm sure that was just like over the top for you. Now, in the film, you also have Dr. Vandana Shiva, and she's one of my heroes. Loretto, what was it like going to Navdanya to film Dr. Shiva?
Going to Dehradun, this town in India, and meet Vandana was amazing. Like, at this time, I was doing another documentary about the Vandana Shiva life. And the beautiful things is I was like for most 20 days in India, and we were in the Vandana farm, and she also has a school student from all way around the world teaching, talking about all the new way to do things in the farm, and I have the opportunity to share, to talk with her. And the beautiful thing was like she asked me, hey Loretto, why you do like a documentary about the seeds, how it's important, like save the seeds, and like we are very important, each of a single person. And she gave me like the, when I was back from this travel, from India, she gave me this input to do also this documentary to my experience and her guide. I said, you know what, I want to do the documentary. And my experience with her was amazing. She's an amazing woman. She's busy like 24 hours a day, but she always finds a little time for everybody to give her advice. She's a very amazing woman.
Wonderful. So she was part of your inspiration on this
film.
Yes,
exactly.
What a great woman to have as an inspiration. Paul, what has been your biggest challenge with farming?
I mean, really, in 2016, there have been those that have come before us. We've already talked about Joel Salatin at length. I think there's a lot of other people that are doing a great job. But the reality is 99.999% of animals are still raised in a confined animal feeding facility, their feedlots and their grow houses. And what that really boils down to is that's just the norm still. So we're constantly battling against trying to blaze this new path, but also trying to be competitive on price, trying to be convenient for the customer. We're here in Southern California where people just tend to have really busy lives. So we've worked really hard to be super convenient for people, so they're not going so far out of their way to try to get good, healthy, quality meats for their family. And I think balancing, you know, we'll never sacrifice on quality. That's not even a challenge for us. We will only do the highest quality that we possibly can. But trying to balance that top quality with price and also like with convenience has been our biggest challenge for sure.
So what has been the most rewarding part of it for you and your family?
It's undoubtedly the connection to the customer. We have several thousand customers now, and out of that, I mean, we love them all, but there's some just amazing stories where we've seen people literally on their deathbed, you know, struggling with leukemia or cancer or these different things, and, you know, we've been able to provide them with, like, nutrient-dense, rich bone broth from our pastured animals. And when you see them come back and they come out to the farm and they tell you their story, there's, like, nothing that compares to that. I think it's been super cool to see stories like that.
Loretto, how do you think Revolution Food is different than other documentaries on food? What's the biggest difference?
Yeah, the big difference is a positive documentary, is a positive message. With this documentary, we never talk about how bad are the things, because we already know. I think the difference is I give a lot of space to the people who are watching the movie, and the way it's very also in the way I edit the movie is very not fast, and the way I put in your mind my thought, but it's very like I did in the way people can enjoy and they can have their thought at the end.
What you're saying is that as they watch the film, they can contemplate and really see,
yes,
how they can make a different choice.
Exactly.
And if I may, I agree with him, and I think another thing that really separates his documentary is the beauty of the film, like the cinematography, the way he was able to capture, I mean, some of the most stunning, I think, live, you know, beautiful shots of the different animals and just the basic simplicity of chickens outside on pasture and cows and the different things that he was able to do. I think that you could freeze frame that documentary at almost any point and, you know, blow it up and put a big poster on your wall. I just think he did an awesome job with the cinematography on that.
I agree. It really was beautiful. Paul, you were formerly in the military, the Marines, as an intelligence officer. I understand you're now helping veterans. What are you doing in this area?
Well, first I'll make the point that I just think you see the average age of farmers in the U.S., I think it's 65 years old in 2016, and every year that number goes up. The USDA and everybody else has kind of admitted that we have this huge problem with people leaving farms and going for jobs in the city, and it's not a surprise when you see the factory farms and the environment that you're kind of asking these people to work in. So we have a mass exodus out of farming, and it is a problem with a growing population. But we have this amazing population of vets, and the skills that vets bring to the table are industriousness, commitment, dependability, reliability, the ability to just get stuff done. They like to be up early, stay up late, work outside with their hands. So a lot of those are the same skills that we need in agriculture. And so we've been lucky. We've only done a little bit, but we've been lucky so far to do some training on the farm for vets that want to start farms or get involved with farming. We're tied in with the company called Farmer Veteran Coalition, which is an amazing nonprofit that connects people with mentors and mentees in farming. So we're super passionate about that. Two out of our five employees are vets as well. So we practice what we preach too.
Great. And I know that as far as post-traumatic stress syndrome goes, there's been lots of studies that show that working out on the land and the farm and with animals can be very beneficial in that area.
Yeah, I love seeing that stuff come out. And, you know, thankfully for me, I don't suffer from any of the PTSD stuff, but I have many friends that do. And the ones that are involved with animal stuff just tend to do a lot better.
I've been hearing a lot about regenerative agriculture. Can you let our listeners know a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so with regenerative agriculture, you're really looking at going beyond sustainability. So sustainability is the idea of like treading water. You're never getting worse, but you're also never really getting better. In nature, if we follow nature's lead, the way that the animals work is they actually improve the soil every single year. So if you take a step back and look at a natural animal habitat like the Serengeti in Africa, the big animals will come through. They'll eat the tall grass down. They'll herd up in a big pack to prevent against predation. They'll poop all over the ground, which if you've ever done gardening, you know that manure can be the best fertilizer in the world. And then they'll move on to the next section. Behind them will come through the medium animals. They'll do the same thing, eat the grass down, poop on the ground, and then move. And then you have the smaller animals like fowl, you know, turkey, geese, all this stuff. They'll do the same thing, eat the grass, poop on the ground, and then move. After that, the most important thing happens, which is rest. So the soil actually gets a chance to absorb the nutrients from that manure and actually get healthier and healthier every single year. So if you look at areas like the Serengeti or actually the Great Plains of America, where buffalo, bison roamed for, you know, a very, very long time before we started inhabiting it, that's why there's such rich soil there, is because of the animal impact and the manure. So we can replicate that on farms by using electric fencing to make a mob or a herd, to rotate the animals in the same way. So every single day we're rotating animals on our farm. And then the land, 99% of it gets a chance to rest. So that's exactly what we copy, and we're just copying nature.
Well, this seems so important if we're going to regenerate our soil in this country. There's a lot of soil that really needs some help because of the monocrops that have been grown, and this seems like the solution to all of that.
I strongly believe it is a solution. One guy, if you're interested in the regenerative agriculture subject, the pioneer and the leader worldwide, is Alan Savory. He's a guy that I would definitely recommend looking into. And yes, I think if we're going to feed a growing population, we're going to feed the world. You know, a lot of people ask me, how can you feed the world with these sustainable or regenerative principles? And my answer to that is, how can you feed the world with a system that's constantly getting worse and worse every year, that's developing antibiotic resistance? So we've got super bugs, we've got all these things popping up from our management. It has to be changed, otherwise we're never going to be able to feed the growing population.
Wonderful. Well, that sounds like really part of the solution. Loretto, how can people watch or buy this film?
They can watch through revolutionfoodmovie.com. Through our website, you can purchase the movie in Vimeo. You can rent or buy. Or if people, they already have they already are subscriber of Food Matters TV, FMTV, they can watch also the movie in Food Matters TV or through my website and Vimeo.
Okay, great. And I will put links to both of those on the show page to make it easy for our listeners. So what's next for you, Loretto?
Next, I'm working with... I have different projects, but one of the projects related with the food is the mind, the gut and mind connection. Is a book of Emerald Meyer, and we are working together in this project to do a new documentary explaining like the connection, how it's important, like what we put in our gut, because it's a connect with our mind, and it's a little bit like it's a continuation of a revolution food, but it's more, I don't want to say technical, but we want to show through the book of Emerald and my direction of the movie, what's happened and how is important this connection.
I think this sounds so important because I know that they call the gut the second brain, and there's a big connection between the health of your gut and the health of your brain. And when you look at the increase in especially the neurological diseases and Alzheimer's, dementia, Parkinson's,
exactly,
ALS, all of those, they're on the rise. So there's got to be an environmental issue going on. So I think telling this story is going to be very, very important.
Yeah, this is this professor, they did this study for more than 10 years in UCLA, and there's a scientific for they can prove how is important what we put in our gut. It's not just theoretical, but they can prove this, and he wrote this amazing book with his experience, and this will be a new project.
Well, we will really look forward to that. How about you, Paul? What's on your horizon?
Well, I do want to take one more second to plug the movie again. I think Loretto's work is so important because if you kind of look at it like a Alcoholics Anonymous model, like the 12-step program, we've identified the problem, right? So like for 10 years now, we've all been talking about how bad things are, and like we've admitted it, and like we're kind of stuck on this thing. So as a country, I think it's time to like move on to the next step, which is what do we do about this problem? And I would like to say Loretto's movie is not so sexy because it's not so controversial. And I know Americans love controversy and they love to see negatives and they love to do all this stuff. But let's really rally around Loretto's movie, not because I'm in it, because that's where the country needs to go. It's like phase two of the food revolution. So next up for me is definitely keep plugging away on the farm here. We just rolled out a wholesale pastured poultry program that we're hoping to take to a national level called Pasture Bird. That's definitely worth checking out. And if you have any restaurants that you think should really be serving pasture-raised poultry, regenerative poultry, look up Pasture Bird. The last one is we're getting involved with some regenerative agriculture in Haiti. So Haiti's a red eye away from Southern California. There's starving people that are totally plagued by, you know, U.S. aid, and they've lost a lot of the agricultural skills that they had before. So we're trying to get involved with some projects down there now.
Wonderful work. Well, I'm going to leave both of you with a quote from Joel Salatin, which was from the movie. And Joel says, "There's never been a better time or a more efficient time to participate in the food system." And I think this is so true, and I think this is what the movie's all about.
Thank you, Loretto, and thank you, Paul, for being a guest on our show today. The film is Revolution Food Movie, and I highly recommend it. And we will be back next week with another great show. Thanks for listening.